The blurb for Fat Plugs, the dance show that opens in the project on Thursday, is a dance show about flab, double chins and getting your kit off in public by artist and forward-facing fatso, Scotty. And said Scotty is forward-facing and facing me right now here in studio.
It sounds like a great show, doesn't it?
Yeah. I like the sound of it. This, there's obviously a huge element of humour in the way in the way the show is described there. But what sent you to make this show about, it's essentially the stories of five overweight men, or in fact, fat men, as you want me to call the five chaps involved?
That's because that's what we are, yeah. Mm. And I think we need to get to a place in culture and society where fatness doesn't feel like, to say the word doesn't feel like, am I saying the wrong thing? And to take some of the sting out of it. But I sort of understand why this sting exists, right? Mm. It's a taunt that's thrown at a lot of people in the playground. But how do I get to make this show? Well, I exist. I am a fat body and I exist in the world. And me and my friends and people that I know often talk about the public humiliation that is enacted upon us. So people take photographs of us in public space. In really extreme cases, I've been two attempts to set me on fire in a nightclub. Someone that which we explore in the show has almost been killed because of their fatness. Mm. And so I guess what I'm asking with this show is whether or not we think, regardless of what you think about my body, do you think I and other people like me should be subjected to that level of violence because of the people that we are?
When you talk about, you know, that you're dealing with just putting on stage what happens to you on a daily basis, what has that been happening for so long that eventually there was the straw that broke the camel's back? Or was there a particular moment when you said, right, that one thing is really important to me now and I've got to get up and say something?
I guess it's an evolution of all of those things. So, like, all of the work that I make is usually autobiographical, usually talks about social issues. So, you know, for the whole of my life, working class identity is unfolded, and to a certain point now I've got to a place where I'm like, this is something I want to talk about. So 2 years ago when I started to think about making Fat Blokes, the same thing was happening to me. I guess what I sort of clocked was every time these sort of violences were taking place to me, where I'd be in public space and I'd be mocked by groups of, like, large groups of lads, and then, or if I was the, like, there's one part of a film that I made for the BBC in which you see me being assaulted by a police officer.
This is Fat and Fabulous Walking in My Shoes. Walking in My Shoes.
And so we see, like, the different levels of violence, and I noticed that every time these were happening I was on my own. So I thought, well, what happens if I, like, get a fat gang together? Does the same things happen to us? And then I guess I thought, well, how am I going to make the show? The public keep on shouting out things to me from vans or the other end of the carriage that I need to exercise and lose weight or go for a run. So I thought, right, I'll make a dance show. I'll sweat for you, but you're going to have to listen to the grievances as well.
But making a dance show, why did you choose that particular art form? It could have been a theatre show with straightforward text and speech and acting. Could have been a music show. Could have been a visual art show. Why dance?
I think with all of my work, I tried to find the most pertinent and most aggressive way to have the conversation that I'm putting forward. And there's an allure to audiences, right? If I say, do you want to come and see the show of these fat fellas, like, all jumping around and jiggling around doing a dance show, there's an allure there where, they're, like, some people just cannot, like, they'll be like, okay, maybe I have to come and see this thing. But it also, this idea that perhaps because we're fat, it won't be great. It will be a failure. And I can tell you it's far from it.
I'm interested in to what extent you literally are being provocative and want to provoke. If we talk about the documentary film, I saw a short section of it, I think, Fat and Fabulous Walking in My Shoes, you do put yourself out there in quite loud gear to attract attention.
Well, I don't think I do. See, this is the thing. Like, we never... I think we've got to get away from this idea that somehow that people who wear a red jacket sort of deserve some form of public mocking. That people who look in a certain way, who stand out from the crowd, sort of there's this element of like, oh, well, if you are going to go around dressed like that... I mean, there's sort of the only real comparison I can make that if I was to sort of turn up in clothes which, like, didn't feel like me, it would be like me asking somebody else, why don't you wear the red jacket? And they would feel completely uncomfortable.
Yeah, but I suppose what I mean in the question is, to what extent is it the red jacket on a fat person that's important here, or the red jacket, if you know what I'm saying?
It's because I'm fat, because of fatness in our societies is considered to be, we're able to mock because it's lowest common denominator. You're the clown, you're the failure. Often when we see fatness represented in culture and media and in the arts, it's to depict something going wrong, or to sort of be the funny best friend but never the love interest, to be the before shot and never the after shot. And I guess as somebody who always, like, some people might say I'm a bit too confident. Like, I would say I'm a very attractive young man.
And how often is the word health thrown at you the minute you say anything about fat?
Oh, the moment you bring it up. Oh, actually, it's not even the moment you bring it up. Like, I've had people that come to the show who've sat through the show and gone afterwards, well, that was a brilliant show, but I hope you know you are going to die of diabetes. Now, there's something which maybe I don't have as a fat person that only thin people or people of an average build have, which is they're able to look through my body and tell me without any form of medical degrees what's going on with inside it. And this happens so often this health argument comes forward. But I want to ask people, like, do you go up to people who are smoking cigarettes in the street and be like, well, by the way, you will be dying? Like, constantly reminding people of their mortality. It feels like this is something that's acceptable to put on fat bodies.
And with just for the record then, do tell us about the cholesterol situation in your particular case and the bloods and the state of play.
Well, yeah, okay, fine. I'm great. I'm really healthy. Like, I have regular health checks. But why? Like, I mean, do we have other guests on here? Like, do you know what I mean? So this is the things that I'm constantly throwing back.
But I think it's important to point out that you have had that done, so that anybody who's sitting there, but he hasn't had his cholesterol checked.
Oh, no, I recently had a health screening, and the doctor just couldn't actually, like, take the information as well, because it was like, no, because the person I see in front of me is a fat person. I'm like, yeah, I do yoga twice a day. Often I go to swimming 3 times a week. And they're like, yeah, but you're fat. Like, they just can't compute these things. And there's something that we call fat blindness within the medical profession, where it's come to such extreme measures where I'm working with a foundation in Manchester in the UK who have had a client go into the health system repeatedly presenting health issues, and it's been written off as obesity, and that person died of leukemia. So this is like the level of, like, what we are actually dealing with. We're not dealing with, like, oh, someone just got called a couple of names. We're dealing with violence and death.
You have a clip from the show here, and each, there are 5 different characters, but the 5 characters are essentially 5 fat blokes telling their stories.
They're real people, and I'm one of them.
Yeah, so you have, this is a section from your story.
Health. This one's dedicated to anyone in this room, anyone who looks at my body, who looks at our bodies and thinks, yeah, but health. It's for anyone there who's supposedly worried about the cost this body, our bodies, might be costing an underfunded, under-resourced and underappreciated health service. Even though the greatest threat to the NHS in the UK is thin, about 5'11", and calls herself Theresa May. This one's dedicated to anyone in this room, anyone who looks at my body, at our bodies, and thinks, oh, you're using up too many of the world's precious resources, that wants us to use less so we can live longer and use even more of the world's precious global resources. This one's dedicated to the rage in my stomach, in our stomachs, when you go to the doctor with eczema and you leave with leaflets on gastric surgery forced into your hand. It's for those of us attempting to adopt children, told to lose weight or be denied a family. It's for those of you on the moral high ground, guzzling oil with 2 cars, populating the world with 3 children, hospitalised because of alcohol consumption, buying cocaine from ethical sources, wearing Topshop capitalist feminist slogan T-shirts. This one's dedicated to all those fat headless bodies used in news items to depict obesity. This one's dedicated to our people, decapitated to induce fear. This one's for all those bodies used without consent by broadcasters across the Western world.
And that's Scotty performing the part of Scotty in the show Fat Blokes. There was a particular moment in the midst of that story, Fatty, where, it was very good acting, or else you were actually kind of really stopping to make us listen to the story about adoption. Why did you really highlight that out for us? Was it a difficult part to tell? That part of your story?
I used a lot of silence within my work for audiences to feel deeply uncomfortable because that's the last thing that they want. And the reason why I park that with an audience, so I always call that parking. It's like when I'm going, you just need to hear what this is because this is an experience that has happened and is happening to me. I've been told by the authorities that I cannot adopt children or have a family because of my size. And this is a shared experience by lots of other fat people. And so it's just something which I just want to run uncover and put out there and just say this. And so silence for me is a weapon.
Yeah, it just points it up. It certainly did. Drew my attention to it. And the other thing that I think is important there, that the headless bodies, because we see this all the time on clips on television where we are shown a fat body and the blurred out face. How annoying is that to you?
Well, it's about dehumanisation, isn't it? It's about saying that this person isn't a real person. We can just use their body to depict something that we want to depict.
And I guess the broadcasters would say it's also that we can't identify that person by their face.
Yeah, of course they would, but the result is every time we see a fat body in on television, it is to be healed, to be solved. And that's why I'm living in this culture where me and my friends are violently abused on a day-to-day basis.
What part does class play in this story?
Oh, so much. I mean, class is like so much part of my work. Not only the way that I sound or where I come from, the bed that I was born in has dictated everything that has unfolded for me and hasn't. And class and food, particularly class and food within the diaspora, so, you know, my family, a Donegal family, like that's such a political thing. And actually food and fatness for me in the home was never a problem. Fatness was considered to be this cultural identifier that we were getting on, that you were strong, that you were healthy. It wasn't until I left the house where I was told you're wrong. And these things need to be solved.
You mentioned the Donegal family there. Just three things I want to ask you before we finish. Working class Irish identity. You told me that you've been here for a while because you're working on a show.
Yeah,
looking forward to that.
I'm researching a show about contemporary working class identity within Ireland and wanting to sort of update some of those stories that perhaps that we're not listening to or hearing.
Now, the other two that I wanted to ask you about are two of the other stories within the play itself. A sad story really stuck out or jumped out at me. The bit where he talks about how attracted he is to fat men, but he hates his own fat body, or he finds it hard to be attracted to his own fat body.
Yeah, and this show, because the show is not about fat pride, right? It's about the complexities of fatness. And if I was to make a show which was just unadulterated pride, it wouldn't be a great show. Like, we have to talk about the complexities of what it is to be fat and exist in that body.
And the other thing about Assad's story is that he's of Pakistani origin, Assad, isn't he? How important was it for you? Because I think he himself says, we only ever hear the story of white gay fat men. We don't hear other stories. We need diversity within this story as well.
Well, all the people that are in the show volunteered. They came forward. I put out an open call through my social media and we distributed it as widely as possible. And Assad was somebody who came along and was like, I've got no experience of this world, but I desperately think that my voice needs to be heard. And it was very clear on day one where Assad was like revealing parts of his identity, and he was like, and I'm not here to be a spokesperson for that. And actually that's this reoccurring mantra that we hear within Assad's work. But Assad's work within the show is really painful, because we can all relate to it. We all know what it's like to one day think, hang on, I'm a bit of all right. And then the next day to think, well, am I, because of things that happen to you within your life.
Sam's, this is a topic that comes up several times, but Sam in particular talks about being physically attacked and how prevalent that is. Is Sam just typical of many fat blokes, do you think?
I think Sam's experience is extraordinary, as in the level of violence that happens to Sam is unbelievably shaking, but people who understand this experience, understand the fat body, they will have other versions of that story to tell.
Some people listening now, I know, would be saying, this guy is proselytizing being fat. This guy is saying, go out there, get fat. It's great for you. It's good for you.
No, I'm not, because I haven't said that at all.
Yeah,
what I'm saying...
some people will have heard you not saying it.
Oh, I tell you what, but I'm not... Do you know what? I'm fine with it. If people think that I'm trying to, like, give every child diabetes across the world, then they're completely wrong. What I'm saying is, this is the body that I exist in. I believe in body autonomy. I believe in the fact that I'm not going to tell you how to run your life and run your body. And so why should you be able to say the same things to me? It's also about the violence. And I really want to come back to that point. Like, regardless of what you think about fatness, whether you think I'm right or wrong, do you think people like me should be subjected to that level of violence?
Well, should anybody be subjected to that level of violence? One final thing then, as we finish off. Flat blokes, have you had any chats with fat non-blokes?
Yes, actually, all of the music that's in the show is from really brilliant, prolific, often queer, lesbian musicians from America who were talking about fatness and the body 20 years ago with this movement called Riot Girl. And so they are the backdrop. But yeah, loads of women and like trans folk and non-binary folk come to the show, and there's a shared experience, because actually the show isn't a fat show for fat people. It's a show for anyone who's ever like left the house thinking, oh, can I face the world today?
What do you make of shows then that basically, I mean, we have a show here called Operation Transformation, which is often for people who are overweight and who are working hard, and let's, you know, praise them for what they're trying to do. They're trying to get themselves to a place they want to be with their bodies. What's your opinion on shows like that?
Great. I mean, people, again, their body, do what they want with it. But does it have to be primetime television mocking, degrading of those people for entertainment purposes? Because there's two different things here. There's these.
And have you seen that specifically? Have you seen the Irish show?
I haven't seen the Irish show. Right, okay. We have programmes in the UK called Embarrassing Fat Bodies and Britain's Biggest Loser, which uses similar template, and these are conversations that I had with another broadcaster called Louise McSherry, where we look at what goes on within fat culture and how fatness is portrayed on the television. And often the way that fatness is portrayed in these programs is that it's an entertainment format, and I think I slightly have a problem with that, because when you look at the response on Twitter, it is the circus has come to town. Do you know what I mean? It's not that we've got empathy coming from the audience. There is a lot of mocking that comes from the audience. And, you know, fine, that's the way of the world. Not everyone's going to get along with each other. But for me, I prefer to watch other things like Love Island.
Is that to tickle your brain? All right. Okay, so you're opening when?
We open on the 14th, Valentine's Day, so great alternative for Valentine's night, and then we run until Saturday.
Okay, that's Scotty there speaking to me about Fat Blokes at the Project Arts Centre in Dublin from Thursday, February the 14th, Valentine's Day, right through until February the 16th.